Hello, everybody. This is Carol Huber-Sanek with The Nearness of You. I've been gone for a little while because I needed to really kick back and take a look at what I wanted out of this show. I talked to a lot of different people. I spoke to people here at Blog Talk Radio. Things just weren't clicking the way I wanted them to, and I needed some good advice, and I got it. I'm back with a brand new logo, a brand new album cover. If you look at it, the upper right corner is a picture of my mother and my father when they got married June the 19th, 1944. It was wartime. My mother wore a borrowed dress. I think she's quite lovely. I think my father's quite handsome. And next to my mother is my godmother, Rose. And next to her is my Uncle Chuck, my dad's brother, who was also in the service at the same time. So in thinking about what I wanted to do, I have made plans to go to Washington, D.C., and while I'm there, I'm going to stop and see the World War II Memorial. I spoke with people there today, and I was told that possibly, I might be able to get some podcast interviews out of some of the rangers, the park rangers, that actually work there, because they will have information and they will know things. I also registered my father there today, because he deserves to be there. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. I'm still waiting to hear back from the War Department. I'm hoping and praying that they can find my father's records from World War II. So there you go. I have a lot of exciting shows coming up. I have a woman coming on board who sings songs from World War II. I have an 85-year-old war veteran who fibbed about his age and got into the Army when he was 15. And served in the Pacific. He's quite a cheeky guy. He's so cute. He Skyped me the other day and said, "I can't hear you." Oh, that's right. I don't have my hearing aids on. So yes, there's going to be a lot of new stuff that's coming at you with the new episodes of The Nearness of You. So sit back, relax, and get ready to listen to the next episode. Every day I open my email in hopes that I'm going to hear back from the archives of the War Department, which is located now in St. Louis, Missouri, with my father's war records. I always pray at night that his records weren't among those that were destroyed by a fire. Unfortunately, many were. So I keep my fingers crossed, and I really hope that I'm going to find out more about where he actually was and what his unit actually participated in. I know war is a tough thing to talk about. I fully understand that. I really do. And I'm coming back to talk more about the memories and the romance of World War II. I thought I would start today with this really, really wonderful article that I just found recently about the fact that this past weekend in Royal Oak, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, a World War II memorial group planned a public reenactment of the kiss that marked the end of World War II. They did this in front of a 25-foot statue that commemorates the famous photo, the Times Square kiss with the sailor and the woman in the white dress locked in an embrace. Oh, the romance. I know. I used to look at that picture as I was growing up because my parents had saved it. You know, it was in Life magazine. They had saved it, and we would leaf through it together, and I would always just pause and really think about it because it just seemed to me one of the most romantic ways to end such a terrible conflict and such a sad time and such a dreadful loss of life within our own ranks here in America. The event was called Kissing the War Goodbye, and it was hosted by the Michigan World War II Legacy Memorial. Several other events around the country and world have similar statutes. So starting at 1:30, kissers and cheering onlookers gathered around Memorial Park, which was officially named Embracing Peace, and they were supposed to wear clothes of sailors and nurses. I haven't seen pictures yet. I think it would be a lot of fun to see those, so I'm going to do the research, and if I find any, you know, follow-up pictures, I for sure am going to share them here because, you know, I want people to experience the feeling that I had when I looked through Life magazine, you know, and looked at that picture. And then I ran across another article, Dunkirk and Hitler's personal photographer. So I opened up the article and read it and leafed through it and wasn't quite sure if this was something I really wanted to talk about, but you know what? War is hell, and the opposite sides existed, or there wouldn't have been a war. So I was going through everything, and I found it very interesting because I had been to an exhibit in Los Angeles years back about confiscated Nazi art, which I thought was going to be, you know, Nazi art that had been confiscated. No, it was artists whose works had been confiscated by the Nazi regime. You know, some of the artists were homosexuals. Some of them were just objectionable. Some of them were Jewish. So the art was confiscated. So I found this article, and it talked about how on May 26, 1940, boats came for the Allies at Dunkirk. And over a course of a little more than a week, more than 330,000 troops had been evacuated from France and were bound for England because the Germans were coming. They had moved through the Netherlands and Belgium that month, and they had broken through the French defenses. Soon they would reach the beleaguered Allied forces. Under cover of bombardment by the Royal Air Force, those forces managed to escape. But though the aerial fighting helped those on the ground get out, it took its toll. Dunkirk was left, as Life's reporter John Fisher cabled the magazine shortly after, a pile of rubbish. I was in England back in, I want to say, the early 1980s, and I remember going to see Coventry Cathedral. It's new, because the original Coventry Cathedral had been bombed by the Germans in World War II. All that was left was one wall standing, you know, and the new cathedral actually was built in a different direction. There's something architecturally in practice where cathedrals face a certain direction. I don't know if it's to get light in the windows or what it is. I suppose I should do the research on that. But all that was left there was, well, the shell, the skeleton of Coventry. So I know that the destruction in Dunkirk had to be massive because every building was destroyed. There wasn't an intact wall. Bricks and stones, feet deep, jammed the streets, and flames were still crackling, and smoke swirled through the town as fire spread unchecked, according to John Fisher. And at the harbor, Frenchmen lay where they fell, their bodies bloated, legs and arms blown off, guts hanging out. And refugees wandered the streets dazedly. Meanwhile, the German columns were already marching to the south looking for new battlefields. Sometime in that period, however, a man named Hugo Jaeger passed through Dunkirk. Jaeger was one of Hitler's personal photographers, taking pictures for the Nazi leaders' records and enjoyment throughout the war. And these images show Dunkirk after the Allies left, all rubble and refugees. I'm going to put a link to these photos for anybody who is interested in seeing them. I'll put it in the show notes of this show. I haven't looked at all of them, but I can tell you that they are very sad to see at times, but so is history over the years, right? There's many sad parts of our history. Interestingly enough, these photographs came to be a part of Life's collection, and it's a fascinating story. In 1970, Life said that near the end of World War II, Jaeger worried that his photographs would be destroyed when Allied forces got to Munich, so he hid them. Along with his last bottle of brandy, he hid them in a coal pile. When the American soldiers did show up, they were distracted enough by the brandy and a put-and-take top that was in the bag that they never gave the pictures a second look. Jaeger was able to smuggle the slides to the countryside outside Munich and bury them underground, where they stayed until 1955, but he did draw a map to remember their location. And at that point, he brought them to Switzerland for safe storage. In 1965, he sold Time Incorporated the rights to 2,000 color negatives for $50,000. That archive contained the updated images of Dunkirk, which had never before been published by Life. When I say Life, you know, I'm talking about Life magazine. I definitely will put the link to these photos within the show notes, as I promised you would definitely have those. And today, I was going through some of my father's records, and I realized that he was sent back to the United States on June 19, 1945, which was exactly 1 year to the day that he and my mother had gotten married. The next letter in his collection of letters is an adorable collection of three postcards that he sent home. I will scan them in and have them within our show notes because I certainly cannot possibly, you know, talk about or describe accurately what these postcards look like. Not only that, there's a little naughty in them. You know, here I am, the daughter, looking at the parents', you know, naughtiness, right? And there's also one in English, I believe, maybe two, and another one in French. And I'm going to have to do the translation. So the translation will also be in my show notes. So there's no letter home this time. It's just three delightful postcards which my father sent home to my mother because it was Valentine's. And it was the closest he could get to sending her a Valentine card. But I will read you what he wrote on the back of them. On the first postcard, which shows a soldier holding some roses, and this was his version of the Valentine card. He said, "Dearest, this is as close as I could get to sending you a Valentine. At least I send it with all my love. Willie." Then we have the one that's cutesy and a little bit naughty. And then we have the one that's totally in French, and I'm going to have to, you know, translate it. So he said, "I read it, but I can't make heads or tails out of it. So you should be kept busy trying to translate it. At least it's a nice souvenir. Love, Willie." So please, come visit the show notes. You will see there the pictures I'm talking about of the postcards. I'll do the translation there, and I will give you the link to the photos from Dunkirk. Thank you so much for listening to the new and improved Nearness of You. I'll be back soon. Bye now. Well, wasn't that an interesting bit of information that I shared today? Several pieces of information, and I've already been working on the translation of the postcard. And actually, it starts out with "Le Petit Chaperon," which actually means "Little Red Riding Hood." And that's what the front of the postcard is. She's there with her little red hat on, and there's the wolf. So I'm going to work on the translation. I'm pretty sure that from what I already can translate in my head, that it's not naughty. Wait till you see the little naughty one, though. So, there you have it, people. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Let me tell you who I have coming up. Well, I think I already did that kind of in the intro, but I do have a songstress, a woman who actually sings songs from World War I and World War II, has graciously consented to doing an interview. I am going to be speaking with Chris Griffith, and she does the Honor Flight. She's a volunteer with them, and she takes people from the Bonita Springs, Naples area of Florida to Washington, D.C. I did tell you that I'm going to Washington, D.C. in November, and I'm going to be talking with the people at the World War II Memorial, plus taking a tour, obviously. And I'm just really excited that other people are jumping in and wanting to be guests. The Facebook page, oh, please, come visit the Facebook page. It's called The Nearness of You. It's growing. by leaps and bounds, actually. I'm really on its own, too. I'm really happy because, you know, I am a social media PR person. That's what I do for a living. Podcasting is what I like to do. I call it my hobby. It's relaxing and enjoyable, and I love sharing these stories. But there I am, you know, just trucking along, trying to figure out where I want to go with the Nearness of You. And all of a sudden, it just started taking on a life of its own. And a lot of that is due to great listeners like you. You are all great listeners. I appreciate it so much. If you have something you want to share with me, please feel free to email me at Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Sanek, S-A-N-E-K, at gmail.com. I treasure all the emails I've received so far, and I will treasure yours too, and take good care of it, and I will answer any question. Or maybe you have a story that you want to share. I'm just amazed how many people are raising their hands saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I love every single one of you. Thank you so much for being part of my journey, my father and mother's journey, and the memories and romance of World War II.